repeat myself, so I've been encouraged to break the ice.
But the wrong ice, though. You know?
Okay, I break the ice again.
Okay, so start now.
Now.
Action.
Action.
Okay, I'm a disciple of Govinda Maharaj.
Your name.
My husband as well. We've been not very long in Krishna consciousness under care of Govinda Maharaj because I was initiated in 2002, not very long ago. My husband in 2001, named Radharaman. We live on Hawaii with 8 years, and we take care of Giriraja together for almost 14 years. How he came to our care?
How did you come to Krishna consciousness?
I don't know what first. You know, there is many different ways devotees come to Krishna consciousness, and individual is our relationship with Krishna the same way, very individual is our way to Krishna consciousness, I believe. Sometimes it's very simple. Sometimes it takes just one devotee to introduce us, and we just right there, very attracted and stay and ready. And sometimes take many, many years, many winy different ways of through different personalities that we eventually come to the lotus feet of pure devotee. So that was my case. Talking about myself, that it took me a long time to come to Govinda Maharaj's lotus feet, but eventually I did. Partially a little bit through my paintings, partially through some other personalities I met along the way. Enough to say that I went to India about 15 years ago and been asked to stay in an ashram on very beautiful Kaveri River, which was under care of Nishinga Maharaj at the time. And he asked me, the ashram was brand new, was called Govindaji Gardens, and all the buildings been just brand new built, mandir and a deity place and a deity little temple was round, and that was 36 feet long and about 7.5 feet tall panel, which I have designed and painted for 8 months, sweating, sometimes crying, but mostly being very happy to do such a nice service in such a beautiful place as well. And after I finished that, things start to kind of rapidly take place in my life, which I couldn't really quite understand what's going on, but I was at some point forced to go back to America and end up following my son was staying in San Francisco at the time, was working there, so my only closest family, devotee family, because my son also devotee. So I came there and was kind of a little disoriented where to take my life from there, because at that point I knew that my project on Kaveri River in that ashram was finished. Also sort of my relations there being maybe not cut or finished, but in a sense became more distant. And in that way, I came to California and was frantically looking online. You know, first thing went to browsing center and to look where to spend Jamnastami. I was quite, probably most obvious choice was Berkeley Temple, ISKCON Temple, which is quite famous. But at that time, I just didn't feel like to get into the ISKCON type of situation. And so I keep looking and pop up Sokal Ashram, Janardhan Maharaj and Sri Gurudeva's branch of Sri Chaitanya Sarasvat Math in Sokal. So I right away call, and Janardhan Maharaj pick up the phone, and I told him shortly my little story, why I'm there and what I'm looking for. And he invited me to come next day to the ashram, and I couldn't wait. I just went took the car and took off from San Francisco to Santa Cruz, about 90 miles south, and land up some beautiful sunset afternoon, about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, something like this, and the winding road, beautiful in the mountains, in the redwoods, just took me straight to the house. I stood at the house, parked the car, walked out, and this beautiful person walking down the stairs in a beautiful saffron and smiling. Who are you? And I start to talk. He, of course, recognized my accent. And he says, oh, you're supposed to come here tomorrow. I say, well, you know, reason I wasn't sure how I gonna find the place. I knew it was in the mountains. I was just a little bit anxious if, you know, if I will find it on time to be there in the morning. So, and he says, okay, where are you staying? I say, I don't have any plans yet, but probably near hotel. And he says, okay, give me 5 minutes. He went. Talked to one of the senior devotees there, Suresh Faridi, very, very famous in that community. She's almost 20 years living in the ashram, very beautiful lady. And she cooked there for all devotees. She's mother, very beautiful mother. And he says, you can stay with Sureshwari. And I stayed for 1 month. So that's how I felt, that I finally, from 1987, when I first time met devotees, to 2001, you probably do the math, I'm not sure how many years, but after a long time, finally I felt I landed. I have landed and I'm standing on a good ground, on a solid, nice ground. And that's how basically I came to Krishna consciousness through the line of Govinda Maharaj. I've been very tumultuous, long, windy, zigzaggy way of different personalities, different ways, till I came to Govinda Maharaj and took initiation. I came in 2001. In 2002, I've been initiated with the name of Inakshi, which means deer-eyed. The eyes of the she-deer, in other words. And like Krishna called the girls, my deer-eyed beautiful girls, or lotus-eyed. So I'm deer-eyed. Like eyes of the she-deer, Dasi, of course. So basically, that's my story before that is not really worth it of mentioning so much, because it was like my complicated way of practitioner, you know, quite complicated in many ways. I think I just felt that different relations led me just to some point, and behind that point I just couldn't pass. And it's important to be ready to surrender your life somewhere along the way. That's the point of Krishna consciousness. And I just always came to just certain point and just couldn't go any further there. So sometimes trace back my steps a little bit and just went another way. Finally came to care of Janardhan Maharaj and met Govinda Maharaj twice in Sokel. He came, visited there, and it was just a very beautiful experience to come to know this famous and beautiful and sweet devotee as Gurudeva is, and all the devotees who served him for so many years, and new devotees who've been flocking, coming in numbers to take initiation. And it's a very, very sweet experience from then on. Then I met my husband and we decided to continue together, which works for us till today, hoping connected to the rest of our lives, but we see how things go. Unless he takes sannyas.
No way.
He promised he won't, so we probably stick together.
So
we're very happy to be here. Hear about Goswami Maharaj way before I came to know devotees who knew him directly. I was first time on Maui. I came in 1994, first time to Hawaii, to Maui, and met one devotee. Actually, that was a couple. They've been Grihastha devotees, Turiya Maharaj and his wife. And through his disciples, I hear about Goswami Maharaj. That was 94, long time ago. And I was always curious about that personality because there've been a lots of dots connected, how from ISKCON, he took Krishna consciousness and took devotees to the lotus feet of Guru Maharaja. So I was at that point, very interested in that story and who was that person and how these books came to be and all that story of Goswami Maharaj. And all of the sudden, when I came to Sokel, within probably 3 weeks, he pops up. I was presenting my pictures, I think, to someone, either Sureshwari or some of the devotees. The word spread that he actually have some pictures. So everybody been asking, and I was showing different people. And Goswami Maharaj show up, and he says, "Oh, that's you." So it makes very heartwarming that it's some sort of mystical connection takes place. You know, you're just realizing it's a little bit more homey, kind of more familiar in this way. So that's how I hear. And then he came there and he stayed for a while, then of course left with Govinda Maharaj and kind of withdrew for a while, and been always anticipated there in Sokel to come back and preach. Everybody loved him very much and still continue always asking and happy to hear, and everybody very happy that he continue preaching, because his preaching of course is very wonderful and deep and beautiful. So we're very grateful for that he continue, and he have this very loving environment and very good care that he can, you know, peacefully do his this wonderful service, because he's really reaching out far, and a lot of people really depend on that preaching. For us on Maui, as we lost a little bit of association through moving to Maui, for many different reasons we moved, that's kind of different story, but we a little bit lacking. So Goswami Maharaj is preaching from here, is like a lifeline for us. Very, very, very important. Every single day, either I paint or do our sadhana or do our practice or take care of Giriraja, many times during the day we listen. And interestingly, we know all the faces, all of your faces. We know them all. When I came, I was embarrassed. I didn't know the names. Little by little, I'm starting to be familiar. And also, my memory not very great, and I always embarrassed with the names and begging forgiveness if I messed up or forgive any of your names. But we know you all. And when we came to have darshan with Goswami Maharaj here, when we just came, the first thing we ask Maharaj, "Are you digital or you the one, a real one?" So he laughed, because it's like becoming so close, actually, you know, that we like almost feel like we felt like very familiar with the faces and place, and oh, that's that furniture, oh, that's it's that close to the, you know, this little familiarity is very nice. So I think I'll just let my husband speak and take over from here. Many ways. Oh, Giriraja. Giriraja came to my care, actually, at Turiya Maharaj's place on Maui. That person I told you I hear first time in his little ashram about Goswami Maharaj. He had Tulsi. And under that Tulsi was our Giriraj sitting under that Tulsi, and they've been worshipping that Tulsi together with Giriraj. And I just admired that deity, and admired that it was such a simple, very beautiful and sweet kind of worship. So at that point, he saw my attraction, and he says, you know what, I think you will take nice care of him. And I agree. I was very moved and happy, and from about 17, 18 years, I have that deity following me. I'm very happy. He's very easy to carry around, very easy. He likes to travel, I believe. I feel that he likes to travel. I even make him his little outfits, two sides colors that I take only two for him, but he have four of them actually. So I can kind of play with that when he travels. Like, there are some companies who do all kinds of far out great designs with traveling clothing that you can use one piece with many varieties of things and looks like in every, so this is kind of that kind of traveling concept for Giriraj's design for his travel. So stuff like this, you know. So that's how Giriraj came to our care, and we continue. He's the center of our life, really. We cook for him, we take care of him, we bathe him every morning, and read for him, and we have all the festivals we're trying to follow. And if not him, it will be not really nothing to. That's good reason for me to make a garlands, and good reason for me to make a little decorations. And you know, Giriraj is, by his command, things are moving. So he has a very special place in our life and in our house. It's his little temple, and with his humble servants trying to do our best, trying to understand his mood. Sometimes looking at him, he look at us, do not make much expression, but sometimes you notice some expression and you're very happy. So it's very nice this way.
Already?
Anything else? No, you take over.
My turn?
I think it's probably good half an hour. It's a lot for me. I'm very camera shy and public speaking shy, extremely. Uh-huh. So I think it's time, yeah.
Okay. My name is Radharaman Das, and I guess I'm number three here, right? I'm not complaining, but you know, but I'm number three here, but that's fine. I've never been number three before, but that's good. And I was born, I really was, November 8th, 1951. Okay? I know for you youngsters that's a little, you know, far away. The only reason why I say that, because then you know kind of what my age is, okay? So all this stuff, what I'm going to tell you is based on kind of like my age. And all the stuff happened before I met Naksha Deity, okay? Before I start that, though, I had like in my 30s, I don't know, is anybody 30 years old here? I mean, you guys are so young, but in my 30s to 35s, I told myself three very important points that I'll never do in my whole life. And you have to remember, I just came from India, from Navadvip. The first thing is I was never going to be involved or join an Eastern religion. No way. No. Second thing is that I never going to have a guru. You know, come on, who has a guru? I'm my own man, I can do my own thing. And third thing, I'm never going to go to India, never. And in Navadvip, I'm there, I'm looking in the mirror, I'm standing, okay, I'm in Navadvip, okay, that's one thing. Krishna consciousness, well, that could be, I'm trying to really rationalize this. Christian consciousness, oh, that's worldwide, and then of course that's kind of like a lie, you know, kind of is center someplace. And then I said, guru, well, yeah, I do have a guru, Srila Govinda Maharaj. So here I am looking at myself, and I'm saying to myself, I can lie to myself very well, you know, because, so the reason why I tell you that is because you have to listen to my story, how I got to Christian consciousness, okay? It was in 1985, back before probably most of you were born, that I became a vegetarian, okay? And it wasn't because, you know, I cruel to, you know, this animal bit and all this kind of stuff. It wasn't because I started to see the light realizations. No, I got sick on meat. I actually started to get physically sick on meat. So I decided, okay, I need to be a vegetarian because I can't eat meat. I want to eat meat, but I can't eat meat. So then I didn't realize, because I used to go out a lot, that when you become a vegetarian, all of a sudden, you're kind of restricted to where you can eat and what types of food you can eat. And all of a sudden, I looked around in my town in Denver, Colorado, and there's no place to eat. There's no vegetarian place to eat. They may have vegetarian food, but it wasn't vegetarian restaurants. And then at the end of that year, in 85, there was a review in the paper. And the review said, the best vegetarian restaurant ever. And it was called Govinda's. Okay, and Govinda's was part of what I used to call the Hare Krishna movement there. So I go down there, and so in 85 I start to eat what I thought was good food. Okay, so I was eating this good food. I didn't realize it was called prasadam, because, you know, no one told me. So I go down there and I start, and we ate there two or three times a week. And I started to eat that great food, you know, and the atmosphere was fantastic. The music was good. Once again, it was, to me, it was food and music. And now I'm an accountant, okay? So what I did, I said, this is a great opportunity. I'm gonna take my clients there, okay? And plus, it was a buffet. And as an accountant, you're cheap anyway, you know? So you can get a whole buffet, you know, for 10 bucks, okay? So I brought my clients there, you know, and they got filled up, and once again, they ate good food and good music. And what I did, I finally said, okay, I'm gonna get new clients, and I'm gonna, what we call, close the deal. You know, I think Donald Trump has a book out, How to Close the Deal. So I would take them to Govinda's to close the deal, to get their accounts. And so I did that, you know. Once again, good food and great music and great atmosphere. 1985, now I got initiated in 2001. So I was doing this all this time, not knowing what was happening to me. I talked to the devotees there, but no one invited me to the Sunday program. And I guess I smelled bad, or I looked bad. I don't know what it was, but they didn't invite me to the Sunday program. And I didn't know there was a Sunday program, so I wasn't offended, you know. So I went on and on. Then I went to California. I got sick, and I went to California, and I came back. And on Thanksgiving of 2000, this is how long it took, Thanksgiving 2000, I finally got, and Thanksgiving is a holiday in America on a Thursday. So I finally got invited to go to the Sunday program. Wow, okay, that's cool. So I went to the Sunday program and I said, yes, this is where I think I want to be. You know, so then they were playing that good music, and I got good food again. I thought that was cool. And so I said, yeah, I really do like this. So I went back the next Monday, I went to the gift shop, and I've been to the gift shop 8 million times, okay? You know, we bought clothes there, and we did a lot of transactions there. And I went in there, and I saw these beads hanging up. And there was a devotee behind on the counter. I looked at the beads and looked at that, at the devotee, and back to the beads. I said, "What are these?" And she says, "They're beads." Oh, okay, I couldn't see that, you know. But anyway, okay, and they're beads. I said, "What do you do with them?" Okay, and then she says, we meditate on them, okay? Now, and I said, okay, how do you do it? So she said, starts doing the Maha Mantra on them, you know? And I'm saying to myself, you know, I say to myself, I smile, you know, but I'm saying to myself, she's nuts. That is not meditating. You know what meditating is? You know, being still, you know, being one with the universe, you know, one with the clouds, you know, being one with everything, you know, just being one, I guess, I don't know, but that was meditation to me. So I looked at her and I thought she was nuts, completely crazy at this time. Then I said, how many times do you do it? And she says, we do 16 rounds. Come on. Okay, I can do 16. That's very easy to do 16. And I said, okay, 16 is easy. And she said, no, 16 rounds. I said, what do you mean by that? 108 is one round. And once again, I said, she's crazy, you know? And this is the whole theme. You're going to get this whole thing is I'm saying these people are crazy. So I'm saying, you know, to myself, not to her, but to myself. And then I said, well, why do you do it? And she says, because I promise my guru. And there was a red flag right there, guru. No. You know, I said, no. You know, and then I said, okay, I know who she is. You know, she's crazy completely. So then what happened, I suddenly got the disease, the crazy disease. You know, I didn't fall on the floor or anything, but I went ahead and I said, oh, can I buy the beads? And when I said, can I buy the beads? You know, I was going to myself, wait, dude, you know, wait, no, you know. And then, so what happens is that I bought the beads and I asked her to show me how to do it. Okay, I said, how do you do this? So she showed me how to do it. And I thought that was cool. So I started to doing this meditating. And I started to do it and I did it on the plane. And of course, you know, when you're new, you know, the first time you do it, everybody has this experience. You know, I'm on the plane, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, you know, and everybody was quiet, and I started to do that, and all of a sudden they look at me, you know, and I thought that was good, you know, come on, me, you know, I'm doing something great here. So I started to do that. Then I got back to California, and I needed to find these people again. So I went to the street in Santa Cruz, because that's where you find every stranger there, you know, everybody in the world there. So I finally ran into a devotee, but that devotee was from ISKCON. Now I was kind of having an association with all the ISKCON devotees at this time for 15 years, and I really wasn't attracted there for some reason. I don't have no idea why. I saw him. He showed me this little preaching center in San Jose. Well, I didn't like it, but I finally found somebody there who was from Santa Cruz, who was going to what I call the Hare Krishna temple. But a funny thing happened is I didn't get the address until a couple weeks after that. And so I finally got the address. I went up there. And when I'm in, now from Denver, ISKCON, you know, I don't know if it's all over. I know St. Petersburg, your guys' temple, when you see it, it's so pocket, so fantastic. Well, that's what I was used to seeing, you know, in Denver. There's all this, you know, great temple there. So I went up to SoCal, and I drove up, like I said, long road, and I got to the temple, and it didn't quite look like the temple that I thought I was going to see. So I drove up kind of suspiciously, then I was going to drive away, and then, like, with Enakshi, Janard Maharaj just happens to walk down the stairs, you know. So I get out and I introduce myself, and I ask him about the program and everything, and he said, "Okay, there's one in San Jose on Saturday. On Sunday, it's here." And I said, "Okay," and then I ask him, "Do you have any books that I can buy, you know?" And the funny thing is that he said, "No, I didn't." And you know, in ISKCON, when you say books, all of a sudden there's 1,000 devotees around you. They want to give you books. Not give you books, they want to sell you books. So when I said books, and he says, no, I said, I don't have the key, somebody else has a key. I thought, okay, that's pretty interesting. It's a little strange to me, but it's pretty interesting. So I got his instructions to go up to San Jose. And it's a house, and like I said, Gurudev was just there like a month before that. I walk up that house, And I got on the stairs and I said, yeah, I like this. And then what I hear is I hear what I call the drums, okay? I heard drums and bells. That's what I used to call them. I walked up there and I saw some people in the window. I couldn't see them very well. And I said, I want to be like them, okay? And I don't know who them was. I don't know who they were at all. I want to be like them. So once again, this craziness started to come out in me. Then I walk up the stairs, and Kumkum Didi, I don't know if anybody knows who she is, she opened the door, and I, and this is going to be mystical, and I hope it's going to not sound very wrong, but I swear I saw this effulgence come out of the door. Just, you know, I guess they had a bright light, I have no idea, but this effulgence just came out of the door, and I couldn't believe it, you know, and I felt peaceful. I felt whom, just like that, I felt at home. I've never felt at home before. Because remember, this is an Eastern religion. I didn't want to do that, so, but I felt at home. Then she walked me in, and this is how stupid I was at the time. I haven't progressed very much since, but I go ahead and I walk up the stairs, and then I go into the temple room, and there's Srila Govinda Maharaj, Srila Guru Maharaj, and I forgot the other pictures. But I looked at Srila Govinda Maharaj, Kumkum was there, and I said, who's that guy? You know, that's how raw and rude I was. You know, I'm saying, who's that guy? And Kumkum, you know, she could have screamed at me, but she didn't take offense at all. You know, she says, oh, that's our Gurudev. And she says, Guru, once again, I got kind of, you know, crazy there, but she says, that's Srila Govinda Maharaj. And I couldn't remember the name, but I remember looking at him. And I remember that, I don't know what he was doing to me, but kind of like a trance. But I felt fixated on him, and I felt, yes, you know, this is who I want to follow. And once again, I broke that rule of the guru, you know, just, and he melted my heart, actually. And then I looked around at the devotees, and I said, yes, you know, I am home for sure. So that's how I got to the Christian consciousness. I knew nothing at all about it. And like I said, I call that a drum, you know, and the cartels, I call that bells. And yet there I felt at home. I felt I've always been there. And this is the tricky part, because the devotees there, okay, you know, they introduce themselves and all, and we kind of talk a little bit. But the devotees had something there that I guess I craved. And that craving was that affection. And that's what Srila Gurudev was all about, was that affection. And so I was getting that from them, like 200% each. You know, I was getting all this love and affection. I didn't know what it was at first. But I said, that really, really felt good. Now, since then, what happens is that anybody associated with Srila Guru Maharaj, Srila Govinda Maharaj, and anybody after that, Srila Goswami Maharaj, Srila Avadhut Maharaj, Bhakti Lalita, what they have, and it shows in everybody here too, you all have what I saw the very first thing, and that was that affection in the heart. You know, I don't know why, how can it do it? I don't know how it can travel country to country, but it's the same feeling that I had at the very first in 2001. The devotees in this line, it doesn't stop, you know? And it's so, like I said, you know, we've seen some of you, you know, on, you know, You had a web page one time, right? Gupta Govardhan or something like this. And we've seen thousands of pictures of you guys. But it doesn't, when you get in here, you feel that warmth. And everybody has that here, which to me is just completely amazing. Because now I will die for Guru, you know, I will die for India, I would die for all this stuff, because I'm so attracted to it, that, and And like everybody here, and I know you guys are young and all, but you have what somebody in SoCal has who is 69, 71 years old. I know you may not understand that. I know I don't understand it. But it's just that through your association with your gurus and everything, it has come through. And to me, that's the most amazing part, because I didn't expect that. I really expected this place and other places that, and even in Navadweep, I expected them to be a little bit different. It's a different country, it's a different scenery. You know, you have different faces, you're from different countries, but you have the same heart. And that's what attracted me to Christian consciousness, and that's what's going to keep me in Christian consciousness, is that heart. So what I really would like to have you guys promise me that you can try to keep that. Because I don't know you can do that. I know I can't do that. But everybody here, just it's in your eyes, you know. It's in, you know, the service you perform. And I know that's probably difficult, because your service is kind of overlaid with work. And I've heard a lot of questions come from here based on service. And your service is kind of overlaid with work and all. But the service you do is just magnificent. You know, the way you serve the food, the way you play mridanga, all that is just so, you know, so invigorating and so enlightened that that's something that I know, you know, will never go away. And I really do praise all of you, everybody here, that you have that and you show that. I really do. And I really pay my dandavats to everybody here. And I'll do it from here, rest of my life. Everybody's
very, very fortunate.
Dandavats.
We feel all very fortunate, very fortunate. And your fortune is amazing, because you have all these wonderful gurus right here.
Yeah.
You're under shelter of very beautiful devotees, and it's really show very beautiful. So keep being nice, because we want to come back. We really want to come back. Don't change.
And you know,
continue. You know, better.
You know, I don't understand how you separate the service. I don't know how you're taught.
Work
because you work, and it's kind of sometimes it could be intermingled. Because what happened to me when I first got to the temple and I started to go there, the first lecture that we had was this devotee. Her name is Bimala Didi. Okay, she's from Brazil, but she's heavily from Brazil. But she has a lot of Italian background in her. So she was there doing the program. And now she was, you know, her arms are going like this, and she was talking, and, you know, half Portuguese and half Italian, and the other half, which is three halves, English. So she was there talking, waving her hands, and I couldn't understand a word she said, you know, but I liked her enthusiasm. But then I started to hear this word, service. Service, save us, service. And of course, you know, I was draftable age, if you will, in the army. So when I hear service, I always remember I'm in the army, you know. So first of all, so it's a service, and I had to get that in my mind, okay. And she was so excited about it, you know. And so like for 45 minutes she was talking, and couldn't understand a word she said, but it was nice. And I went home, service. I didn't know what it was, but service. Then the next week, I don't know if you ever know about Sarva Bhavana. He's a devotee that has a sweet, great voice. You know, he can say, he can go to you and he can say, Prabhu, eat tires, eat the rug, and you go and eat the rug. You know, I don't know why. You know, he has that type of voice. You know, eat the rug. Okay, I'm going to eat the rug, Prabhu. So what he said, he started talking about service too. You know, and so it's 2 weeks in a row, and you know, and I'm not as dumb as I look. You know. Except for my parents said that I'm dumber, but that's beside the point. But I was there and said, there's something there that I need to learn. So after Prashadam, I went there, and because he explained what service was, and I'm an accountant. So I went up there thinking, I want him to explain service, but I want him to ask me what I did for a living, because I can do high service. Because here in America, as an accountant, that's high. You know, you make a lot of money, all this kind of stuff. So I said, okay, I'm going to be doing high service. I can't wait till he asks me, what do you do? So I go up to him, ask him, okay, what's this service really about? And he went ahead and he said, oh, you know, it's just doing anything for the temple, for the devotees. And he was really, you know, he knew I was new, so he didn't say Vaishnava because I didn't know what that was. You know, and just doing, you know, a little work here. And I wanted him to ask me, what did I do for a living? Because I can give high service. And if I get high service, that means that I'm a better devotee. You know, that's what I was thinking. And he never asked me. And I said, okay, well, what can I do? And he said, you know, you can go to the kitchen and ask to do service there. And once again, that mentality of mine comes, I smile, and I said, that's the dumbest thing I've heard in the world. You know, once again, go to the kitchen and do work. I said, I'm an accountant. I can do high service here. What gives me with you? You know, I did ask me. Well, I was once again, I went into my craziness, and I went to the kitchen. You know, this was a brand new temple, and of course, brand new temples are all enthusiastic. They had 8 million people, and the kitchen was the size of that rug, and they had 8 million people in there doing all kinds of service. You know, they're on top of each other during the ceilings and all. And I go in there and I ask, Jivana, how can I do service? And she looked around, and she looked, and there's a side here where there was a stove. And she said, oh, you can clean the stove. And I looked at the stove, and the stove was brand new, and it was shiny. I can see my reflection in it. And it was clean completely, but she said, you can clean the stove. So straight away, she gave me the mercy to do service. And I still thought, I can do high service. I don't need to be in the kitchen doing this work. You know, I can do high service. But I was never asked. You know, you want to do high service, you want to do accounting. I was told that was high service there. And so I stayed in the kitchen for a while. But that service attitude, this is what I see here. Complete, I know you do your work, I understand that, but the service attitude is so well ingrained in all of you. And I don't know how you feel about it, and I haven't asked. I haven't taken a survey saying, oh, how do you feel about service here? Are you happy with your service? You want to do something else? No, but the service attitude, once again, with the heart, it just comes and makes this like a lotus flower. And it just, and it's so impressive, once again, it's so impressive with service. But everybody here, I'll pay my dandavas for the rest of my life here, because you are such great devotees. I thank you very much.
Dandavas. Thank you very much for giving us opportunity to come to know each other a little bit and to have these few words. Thank you.
When you first time here.
Oh, the first time?
Who, me?
Shri Govinda Maharaj.
When I met first time Govinda Maharaj?
Yes.
He came to visit Sokel in 2004 and 2007, on two occasions we saw him. First time, I think he stayed 3 months or something. Yeah, and then second time, he stayed a long time. So we have an opportunity to see him on two occasions for quite a lengthy period of time. He was sick. For a long time, we couldn't even go and visit him. But then after a while, devotees could go upstairs. And I usually go, my husband had also some health issues in the time. But I managed to visit Govinda Maharaj few times there. And each time, Bhakti Lalita was there and always asked, oh, where is Radharaman? I say he had to stay behind because he wasn't feeling well. And she spoke something, whisper with Govinda Maharaj, and then she brought big basket of mangoes to Govinda Maharaj, and Govinda Maharaj look, and then he pick up one, and then he smell like for a long time, like his nose was there. He really smelled the essence. And put down, took another one, smell, and he says, this one for Radharaman. He gave that beautiful mango. And when I came home, peeled the mango and cut through the mango, was like pure butter. Usually now in the West, the commercial fruit is kind of not that very flavorous, nor even texture is not very nice. They're not very nice fruit. But this was just some absolutely amazing mango. And I just realized that he grew up, you know, all his life on smelling this mango. By smell from far, he could know which mango was absolutely perfect to eat. And he was just smelling this mango to choose that perfect mango for Radharaman. I was so moved by that and so very happy. And I said, you know, that mango is so special. It's just unbelievable how Gurudev kept that mango, and like almost all his heart went to that mango to give him. And he's like, he will feel better. Gurudev says, he will feel better. Yeah, so he felt better.
I don't know. Yeah, that's a really interesting question when I first. I still do not have comprehension in any way. When I first met him, I didn't say anything. You know, you can see that I talk a lot, you know. It's not good talk, but at least I talk a lot. And I was there and I was really, I got struck dumb, if you will, you know, just sat there and I just stared at him, you know, and just who he was and what I felt. And that picture, of course, you know, that guy, he was a lot more than that. And I could not comprehend it then when I saw him like three or four times. I don't have the opportunity like everybody here, you know. There's Srila Goswami Maharaj, Srila Avadhut Maharaj. You know, I didn't have that opportunity to be close, because I got into Christian consciousness
very
when I was 50
brief,
years old.
Very brief.
And still, as of today, I can't comprehend Srila Govinda Maharaj. I can't comprehend what I saw, what I felt. It doesn't make any sense to me, because it's above my senses. But I hate to bring this up again, you know, here he goes again, you know. But I know what he is. I know that it's coming through you, okay? But I don't know. I don't know at all what
Guru,
you know,
Deva's,
how I felt.
Guru Deva's favorite pastime in Sokal, or probably many places, but there he was driving his little scooter up the hill and down the hill, and he used to drive very slowly, and a flock of devotees been following him up the hill, and all of the sudden, shoo, he took off very fast, and everybody disoriented and start to run because to protect him that he won't fall or something happen, and he slows down. Everybody walks and took again. Oh, that was just such a beautiful play. And then once he was going down in his scooter toward the to Sokel, it's just like a main type of gate from the main road, and then a little road going inside the compound toward the building. So he was going down, and I was just turning my car, driving in. So we've been like, he stops his in and. My gesture, voila, please come. It was just this moment, you know, we are just such a teeny devotees. We didn't have a chance to meet Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, missed. Govinda Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, missed. Many. So we now really. The most precious people we have is Bhakti Lalita, Goswami Maharaj. There's very few, Avadhut Maharaj, Ashram Maharaj. There's very, very few devotees who carry that heart for us. It's just very, you know, like very brief. What we had with, it is very few, very little stories. Any of these devotees could have of one evening with him say more. We don't really have very much to say. But this very brief moment has been very precious to us, very precious. Like just little things, like we've been taking a second initiation and Govinda Maharaj, his Ranjit at the time was his personal servant. And he, move, like yelled to me, move, further from God. Govinda Maharaj, stop, come closer. You know, so those things which just makes you so very warm and welcome and happy, you know, from someone like Gurudev, you know, he could have not even, so many devotees around all the time, he could have not even noticed, but he noticed everybody. He knows everybody by name. Probably if I will ask some slightly known fact among devotees, something about us or something, he will know that. He will know that. So that heart is just vast, so vast, unlimited, beautiful heart. So really not very much, you know, it's just like I feel personally very inadequate, you know, in situations like this, because we really have very little association, but precious and something we carry in our heart forever, these few little funny things, you know, with Gurudeva. Mostly devotees been very protective of him. Shruta Shrava Prabhu, many of this senior devotees been very, make sure that he rests a lot. And so, but then in some occasions I sneak in here and there. And you just, you know, like with Gurudeva, I don't know, any of you met Govinda Maharaj?
No, they're too young.
I just can't believe that there is even people who didn't see him, because we consider ourselves we like teeny, you know. So yes, you will be just completely enamored by his every gesture. He's very humorous. Bhakti Lalita probably and Goswami brought billions of stories like of his humor. Like he was sitting and all of the sudden Gurudev says, I can't walk to this door, but I've been everywhere. You know, and then silence. And he's just giggles you inside for a long time and you're looking at him, he's smiling. You know, then he says, I need a new strap for my camera. And Yamuna Priya was, okay, she just stood up, second. I even didn't know she got the message. I thought she went for something else. In a second, she brought like three different types of, you know, straps for a camera. Orange. Gurudeva chose. Why? We don't know, but it was Yeah, such a sweet gestures, and he's just from that little what I remember, you know, that little very small mind can contain, you know.
On the scooter,
very, very sweet.
On that scooter, like he would go fast, and we had in SoCal, we have hills like this, and he wouldn't stay on the trail, okay? And if you get off the trail a little bit, you're going to fall down the hill. So he would take a scooter and put it in the groove. And everybody was, I mean, they panicked, you know.
Yeah, and
they held him up and stuff like this. And sometimes he got stuck. And he was there smiling and laughing, and they had like, you know, five men devotees going, oh, you know, and he was sitting there. And there's one time, there's that hill that goes into the road. One time he went too fast, and he tried to make the turn, and he actually fell over. You know, and what I was told, because I was on top of the hill, you know, I heard the screaming, I was kind of, you know, and then what I was told when they got him up, he was laughing, you know, like it was just something so fantastic that he did that, you know, but if he went down the hill, and they were saying he was going extremely fast, and he made that turn, and, you know, that's what he was. That's what I saw. I saw that, once again, that affectionate laugh that he had. You know, that's one thing that really draws you, that smile.
Like a baby.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. All the devotees been running around him like you see the baby on a first tricycle or bicycle, you know, like you go around. The whole group of devotees been just like this. Gurudev, not too fast. I want to go up there. That was just that big, steep type of whiny little trail up the hill, and he wanted actually there to Lord Shiva's or whose temple he wanted there?
I don't know.
I thought it was either Lord Shiva's temple, I guess. We overstepping here? Wait too long? Are you guys still okay? Okay. Anyway, so he really loved that place. There were some plans there for either Lord Shiva's temple, I think, or maybe he even wanted to have a residence there. And he really loved to go when it's rainy. That there was very on a steep kind of like a little trail, and it was quite slippery and small, and he could just zoom right there, you know, all the devotees like barely walking on the side, and Gurudeva pushing through to go, that's place I want to be, that's the place I want to stay. He always say that. Yeah, so it was just, and because we had our apartment nearby, we wasn't even staying in the ashram, so those people who've been bringing him food and care for him closely, they just may have billions of this beautiful. Other times he could have just see and watch TV and change channels and have devotees just sit. Everybody been just happy to be in his presence. Very, you know, something I have actually never experienced with anybody, because I met lots of nice people in my life. Many people very nice, very sweet, very welcoming, accommodating. But all these terms are pale to what you may feel in the presence of devotee like Govinda Maharaj. And again, you know, us, very little to say. But these are very, very beautiful moments for us. Yeah, always to remember. I think it's getting late, probably. Huh? Getting late. Chanting. Late. Hari Haraya. Yeah, I will need a book.
And also we have some, so to say, greetings from our viewers.
Oh no.
And it's Subhashini.
Sudarshani.
Subhashini,
okay.
I don't know what's the spell.
Okay.
This is Subhashini from Ireland. My dandavat pronounce and affection to Anakshi Didi and Radha Raman Prabhu.
Oh my
God. Together in Lavadvip Palm recently during war
for me. Oh, Jai.
Oh, yeah. So.
Thank you so much. Dandavas to you, Didi. We love you all. Love every devotee we met there. Very, very sweet.
We also have Dandavas from Dhananjaya Prabhu and Jambavinda Prabhu from Ireland.
Oh my gosh, sweet. You see what you did? You see what you all did? We've been like a little mouses in our little little holes hiding, and now we have some greetings coming from universe. Yay! Sweet. Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha.
Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha.
Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha.
Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha.
Gopala Govindaram Shri Madhusudana.
Gopala Govindaram Shri Madhusudana.
Giridhari Gopinatha Madana Mohana.
Girihari Gopinatha Madana Mohana.
Shri Chaitanya Nityananda Shri Advaita Chandra.
Shri Chaitanya Nityananda Shri Advaita Chandra.
Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam.
Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam.
Jaya Rupa Sanatanda Saragunata.
Bhattadasunata
Shri Jivagopala Bhattadasaragunata.
Shri Jivagopala Bhattadasaragunata.
Echai Gosai Kori Charanagandana.
Echai Gosai Kori Charanagandana.
Yaha hoite vidyanas abhista purana.
Yaha hoite vidyanas abhista purana.
Echai gosai jar moritaro dasa.
Echai gosai naru moritaro dasa.
Tasabara padarenu mora pancha grasa. Tadara charana sebi bhakta samabhasa. Janame janame moi ei abhilasa. Echai gosai jabe braja koila basa. Radha Krishna Nitya Lila Korila Prakasa.
Radha Krishna Nitya Lila Korila Prakasa.
Anande Bolo Hari Braja Vrindavana.
Anande Bolo Hari Braja Vrindavana.
Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Najalila Mana.
Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Najalila Mana.
Shri Guru Vaishnava Pada Padma Kori Asha.
Guru Vaishnava Pada Padma Kori Asha.
Harinam Sankirtana Kohe Narottama Dasa.
Harinam Sankirtana Kohe Narottama Dasa.
Hari Haraya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha.
Yadavaya Namaha.
Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha.
Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Krishna,
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare.
Yeah.